all of those gifts. We had no idea. We didn't expect that at all. What a blessing. Let me just, I'm going to say, you have no idea what that means to us. And it's just, it's such an encouragement. And we're excited to be here with you tonight. We pulled up and just, whoa, the building is beautiful. It came in, the decorations, and you still have the missions theme going. And I love missions conference. And I always, it's always been a special time to me to look forward to it. We were excited about being here for the missions conference. And I hadn't been following the weather and the news like I should have. And pastor called me up and he said, you're not coming. And I was confused at first. He said, you can't come. And I was still confused. I was even more confused. Then he explained to me, they closed the road. You can't get down here. And we were disappointed. It was of the Lord. We needed to continue going door to door to door. We had visitors here today in the service this morning that they just got a flyer on their door. And we passed out almost 7,000 flyers in a little less than 4 weeks' time. And it's just amazing to see what God has done. The area where we are, Huntersville, North Carolina, was in 1990, Huntersville was a community of 3,000 people. There are over 23,000 homes in Huntersville now. The population is for sure over 65,000. Some people say it's getting close to 100,000 people who live in Huntersville. And if you follow the demographics, most of the people who have moved in during that time period are not from anywhere in the South. Most of them are from the Northeast, where there's not a lot of soul winning churches, not a lot of interest in church at all. There are people who are there from literally all over the world. And really, just these last 2 weeks, we've started actually talking to people. And so in starting the church, you just go and invite them to church, invite them to church, invite them to church. I don't have time to talk to you now. I'll just invite you to church. We keep inviting people to church. And but to stop and talk to people and to see, just to meet people from all over the place, everywhere, all around the world. And it is a mission field right in an area where people wouldn't think that it is a mission field. And we believe that God has placed us there. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support. Pastor, I'll leave this here for you. We had already done our tracks for inviting people to the grand opening Sunday, but we needed to order the tracks for just the regular church tracks. And we used the money that you sent us toward these tracks. And I'll leave it right there. Maybe I'll leave it right here so I don't blow it off during the message. And you can have one for a keepsake. And what a blessing you folks have been to us. You've encouraged us. And for me, I was sitting down there thinking, I've been in so many church services in my life. My dad started a church when I was 5 years old. And they took me to church whether I liked it or not. You just all the time. That's, and if you're well, if you're sick, didn't matter. We didn't know. Dear lady back here gave me a fist bump. She was giving everybody a fist bump. And I said, I don't know what that is, but I'll do the same thing. And she said, flu season. And when I was little, we didn't know that things were contagious. We didn't know that. And so you just went to church anyway. Share it with everybody. And that's what we thought was a good idea. We didn't know. But it's an amazing thing to have grown up in that when I was a little boy. And now all these years in ministry. And I'm sitting here listening to the music, enjoying the singing and the announcements, and I was sitting there thinking, Brother Sears, this is the first time that I've preached in a church besides my church when I was a pastor.
Oh, yes.
I'm excited about that right there. Man, that is awesome. So, how do pastors say this? Let me see. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to Mark chapter 14. And I'm thrilled to be with you tonight. It's amazing what God has done in our lives, and God's been good to us. My wife was able to lead a lady to the Lord yesterday.
Amen.
She was in the service this morning. I would love to tell you that she came forward and got baptized, but we don't have a baptistry. And so we're going to be just sprinkling people for a while. I'm kidding, okay? I'm just kidding. We will baptize them. We will figure that out. But we're in the mode of we figure one thing out at a time right now. And so you pray for us. The Lord gave us a school, gave us access to an elementary school that is geographically in the center of Huntersville. It's a perfect location for us. For several months, it looked like we were not going to be able to find a place to meet. And Pastor, we came this close to starting in our house. And that's not a good idea to do it, but we were tired of waiting. And just, it was like the Lord just parted the Red Sea for us and gave us access to this school. And we were able to get started. And what a blessing it's been these last 2 weeks. The first Sunday, we passed out, as I said, almost 7,000 flyers. I had no idea. We gathered the family together. We talked about it. I said, if one person comes, I'm going to be thrilled. I'm going to be jumping up and down, excited. And we had, praise the Lord, we had 23 the first Sunday. I got a text yesterday from a friend of mine that started a church many years ago. And his text was very simple. It just said, praying for you, we remember our second Sunday vividly. And as soon as I read that text, I understood everything that it meant. I texted him right back and I said, did anyone come back? And praise the Lord, we did have a few people who came back. We had new visitors this morning as well. And so it's exciting to see what God is doing. And what a needy place. I will labor this just a little bit here. I need to do it. You need to be grateful for the church that you have here.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, what I'm getting ready to say, there are probably a lot of people who would not agree with what we did. But when we moved to that area, we made a decision. We're going to visit the churches in this area. It's going to take us a while before we're able to start a church. And we just started visiting the churches in the area. And at first, we drove some distance to churches that were good churches. And then we began to just visit the churches that were close to where we are. And it's very, very sad what is out there.
Yes, sir.
And I can tell you this. Where the Lord has placed us, there is not another church that is using the King James Bible, singing the old hymns, and going soul winning. There's not one. No one. Not anybody. We've been all over the place, knocking doors. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they're the only ones out there. And they don't have the truth, and so they need to go back home. But Mark chapter 14, I need to get to the preaching here. So that we can get on the road. But we came to church to get in, right?
Yes.
Okay, not to get out. I would like for you, if you would, once you find Mark chapter 14, if you're able, if you'd be willing to stand, please, together. And I'll read the scripture, but we'll just stand for reverence to God's word this evening. In verse number 3, being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. Now we have to take a moment right there. If I understand correctly, a penny a day was the wage. So we're talking about some extremely valuable ointment. 300 pence. 300 days' wages. And this lady, I don't know where she got this. I don't know how she had treasured it up. But she broke this box and she poured it on Jesus. And then they began to judge her. Then they begin to look down at her and say, she shouldn't have done this. That was a waste. It could have been invested in the ministry. We could have done other things with it. going on in the verse, and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." And let's pray. Father, help us as we look at your word tonight. Encourage us. Thank you for this church. I thank you for their heart for missions. And really, Lord, I feel like we don't belong in a missions conference, but we know that spreading your gospel is what it's all about. I pray that you'd help us and encourage us in this very idea. What we see this lady, she hath done what she could. Encourage us and challenge us tonight, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This is an unusual occurrence. Here this lady comes in, and we know the story. We sing songs about it. And she takes the ointment and she breaks it and she, without an announcement, no preparation, evidently just barging in. And she breaks the box of ointment and she pours it on Jesus. Immediately, they begin to judge her. "You've wasted this. We should have given that money to the poor. Just think of what we could have done. We could have put that on the building program. It could have gone to the missions fund. We could have done something great with this money. And you've just poured it out. What in the world?" Now, there's some things that are not clearly spoken in this story. But Jesus says of this woman, he says, "Leave her alone. She's wrought a good work on me. She hath anointed my body for the burying." Now here's what I wonder. I wonder if Jesus is telling us the effect of what she did, or if Jesus is telling us this was her intention. If it's the effect of what she did, which is, I'll be honest with you, that's what I've mostly assumed my whole life. That this lady really didn't know what she was doing. She was just trying to do something really nice for Jesus. And she believed that he was the Son of God. And she treasured him. And she had this treasured ointment. And she brought it. And she broke it. And she poured it out on Jesus. And it was a beautiful picture of sacrifice that we should follow. End of story, in my mind. But Jesus said of this lady, "She did this to anoint my body for the burying." Now, if you go and you study through the Gospels, Jesus keeps telling the disciples, "I'm going to die. Right. I came to die. Right. My purpose is to die. I will die." And they argue with him. Peter says, "Oh no, Lord, you're not going to do that. Oh no, I'm going to defend you. I've got a sword here. If anybody comes, I'll cut their ear off." Now, I don't know for sure, but that one phrase where Jesus said, "She hath anointed my body to the burying," is it possible that this lady was listening in church? Is it possible that she just had enough faith to believe whatever Jesus said? Amen. Is it possible that she was just acting on the faith she had because of what she heard Jesus teach and preach? Well, I don't know. I don't know. But The possibility is there that she did have some understanding. Yes. Jesus said that he was going to do this. And if he said he's going to do it, and Pastor, you know this is true. Some of us are just simple.
Yeah.
And sometimes I was so touched. I'm so proud of your church for what you're doing for your pastor and pastor's wife. You keep that up. You have no idea what that means. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But sometimes you'll just say something and you don't even realize, kind of like David when he was saying, I wish I had some of that water from the well at Bethlehem. And these guys go, well, you want some of that water? We'll go get it. You know, we'll be the secret ops. We'll go over there and get it for you right under the Philistine's nose. We'll get it and bring it back. And then David wouldn't drink it. That would have hurt my feelings, I think, if I'd gone to get it, gone to all that trouble. And it may be that this lady really fits in that category. It may be that she was listening and she heard what Jesus said and she just believed it. Oh, you're going to die. Well, we need to get ready for that, don't we? And she came and anointed Jesus. Now, here's what Jesus said. He said, everywhere that this gospel is preached, this that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. We're going to put this in the Bible, and the preachers who preach out of the Bible and preach the whole Bible are going to talk about this lady. They're going to tell generation after generation after generation, they're going to hear about this lady who made this huge sacrifice for Jesus, for everybody else around said, that's not worth anything. That's a waste. That wasn't a good way to do this. And Jesus corrected them and said, you don't understand. The faith that this lady had is what is important. The fact that she believed, the fact that she listened, the fact that she acted on what she heard Jesus say. Oh, you're going to be crucified? Well, I don't know if they're going to invite me or let me in whenever, but I've got the ointment right now, and we're going to just take care of this right now. We'll prepare. Now, this lady is a wonderful picture for all of us in so many ways. Perhaps she did not know what she was accomplishing. Her deed was unusual, at least, perhaps even strange. Nobody does this. I mean, every now and then, I was a youth pastor years ago, teenagers are taking to camp, and you'll have one teenager that won't take a shower all week, you know, and then somebody takes their cologne and pours all over this kid because he won't take a shower all week. If you've been around when that's happening, it really doesn't smell great when you pour the whole bottle out. We all immediately get a headache. It's designed to use a little bit at a time. This was a little unusual, a little bit strange. No one else was doing it. She had no training. She had no support. There was no fan club. She wasn't popular. She made enemies with what she was doing. She didn't have anyone else to look to for guidance. They didn't have a program down at the church pouring the ointment on Jesus program. They didn't have one of those. She just did what she could. Nobody signed her up. She didn't receive any encouragement from anybody else. They didn't have a clipboard at the back of the church. I want you to sign up now to pour ointment on Jesus. They didn't have that. She was misunderstood. She was judged. She was murmured against. She was accused of being wasteful. But Jesus said about her, she has done what she could. Now, I believe this, what I want to share with you and try to encourage you tonight from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I believe that every person has something that they can do for God.
Amen.
There's something that you can do for the Lord. My wife and I, we first started out in the ministry in Durham, North Carolina. And youth pastor and youth pastor's wife for a couple of years. And then we went from the youth department to what they called the Golden Years Club in one jump, boom, way over here. And we had a time. We had a time. Our Sunday school class was then the auditorium class. And we were young, just out of college. We didn't know a thing. And every week I would study for my lesson, for my Sunday school lesson, and I would just look at my, I would sit in my office, pastor, and I would look at my Bible, and anything I wrote down for an outline, I would just look at it and go, they already know that. And I'd turn the page and read some more. Oh, this is good. I'd write down a few notes, and then I'd look at it and go, they already know that too. I mean, they already know everything. They were saved before I was born. How in the world can I teach these people in this class? One Sunday, in Sunday school, I took a gospel tract and I gave a challenge. I just read through the tract and I said, you can witness to somebody. Somebody's going to come by your house and knock on your door. Someone's going to call you, a telemarketer. Don't you love it when they call? If you have the time to talk to them, you can just turn that thing right around. Oh, thank you for calling. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
you turn it right around. And in that Sunday school class, the youngest person, I was probably 24, I'm guessing, the youngest person in the class was 50. We had people in our class in their 90s. Okay? I'm their Sunday school teacher. Isn't that great? I'm sure it was awesome. Everybody there is old enough to be my grandparents. I took a gospel tract, and it wasn't as detailed as this one. It was just very simple. It just had the verses on it and little points. And that's what I taught for my Sunday school lesson. And I had some ushers come down, and we gave everybody one. And I said, here's what you can do. You can share the gospel with people. You can do that. And I said, even if you don't know what to say, you can just take the tract, and what you do is you just read it, and you read it like you've never heard of it before. You just take your time, and you go, can I show you something here? Right there it says, everyone is a sinner. If you go slow, it takes more time. And it can sink in, and they don't miss it so much. I challenged them. There was a guy in that class. I'll tell you his name. I'm sure he's gone on to be with the Lord by now. I don't know how old he was. Brother Clyde Brooks. Brother Clyde, to me, as a 24-year-old young man, I am not trying to be disrespectful at all. I want you to understand what I'm talking about, what happened. Brother Clyde looked to me, I don't know how old he was. He looked like he was 100. All right, 90. He looked at least 90. Brother Clyde, I'm going to show you how he walked. He walked like this. Just like that. You'd see him come pull up in the parking lot. It'd take him 5-10 minutes to get into the church. He walked just like this. The whole time it looked like he was going to fall down. I mean, you just wanted to go over there and grab him by the elbow and say, Brother Clyde, how are you this morning? Can I walk with you into the church this morning? And that's how he walked. Now, the one thing that you had to watch out for Brother Clyde about was shaking his hand. It didn't match, Pastor. He had a grip. Like a crocodile. I mean, just, it was like a vice. And so the first time it happened to you, you weren't expecting it. Because this guy, he's walking like this right here. And you're thinking, man, I don't want to tip this guy over. And you put your hand out there. And how you doing, Brother Clyde? And he would just take that hand and he would just crush your hand. Just, it's like, oh, Brother Clyde, let me go, let me go. Sorry for everything I've ever done. Brother Clyde came to me and he told me this. He said, I've been in church all my life. I got saved when I was young. And he said, I've always heard preaching on this. And he said, I want you to pray for me. I've never been able to do it, but I'm going to do exactly what you said. Brother Clyde came almost every Sunday from then on. He would come to me and tell me about somebody that he led to Christ that week. I don't know how he chased them down. I honestly don't. I don't know where he found them. But he just took that track. And he told me, he said, I just did what you told me to do, and I just read it to him.
Amen.
That's all I do.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, there's a man who said, I can't do much, but I'm going to do what I can do.
Amen.
There is something that each one of us can do. I'm convinced that God has, and I don't believe that this is just church promotional, church growth program type material. I believe it's biblical.
Yeah. Amen.
If you study, the Bible says that God gives us gifts, and He gives them to all of us. And here's the thing. It's funny because the way I was a music director for years, and the way I got ensnared in that was that my dad started a church, and we didn't have a music program except our family. And so I was up there singing. Go up there and sing. And it's so funny now because we have our youngest son is with us, and our oldest son and his wife, they moved down. He was a youth pastor up in Iowa. They moved down, and they're helping us. And we're starting this church. And now it's so funny. We were standing out in the hallway this morning, and I said, Eric standing there, Kevin standing here, and I had just asked Kevin if he would lead one of the songs. And I says to Kevin, I said to Eric, would you be willing to lead this other song? And he just looks at me, and it just brought back so many things from when I was growing up. And he's, well, I'd really rather not. And so he's a great song leader.
And
I'd really rather not, Dad, but, you know. And then so Kevin starts giving him a hard time. Oh, yeah, so you think you can get out of it? And so he starts giving his reasons. And, of course, I don't know how your family is. I don't know how many kids you have or how many different personalities. But if one of our children is a natural lawyer, it is Eric. And he started when he was probably 2.5, bargaining his way out of everything. And logic, you know, just everything. Here's the reason for this. And so he's given Kevin all of his reasons, and he won. He did not lead the song this morning at all. It was great. And so all these years, just leading the singing, and not just leading the singing, but being involved in that, and just to see people, there's this idea that says gift equals musical talent, and people say, I'm not gifted, I can't sing. That's what people will say. I'm not gifted. I can't sing. Well, I'm here with two different kinds of bad news for you. Number one, everybody can sing. The Bible says make a joyful noise. All right? If you can make racket, you qualify. All right? So, number one, you can sing. But number two, singing is not the only gift. Okay, it's not the only talent. As a matter of fact, I love singing. I love to get involved in it. I love to hear singing. I love music. But I don't think it's necessarily the most important one. I believe every one of us has a ministry. So many of you came up tonight, even before with the handshaking time, came up and smiled and shook hands with us and made us feel welcome. That is a ministry.
Yes.
It is a gift. It is vital.
Yes, it is.
It's vital.
Amen.
We visited all these churches, and we're going from church to church. We learned so many things. We get in the car afterwards, and we talk about, oh, they did this. And we take ideas from anybody,
right.
And if it's a good idea.
Yeah.
And so we... Oh yeah, we're in a school, and they have metal folding chairs, and we went a couple weeks before our opening Sunday. We're thinking, where are we going to go this week? And we got a little flyer about a church that is meeting in a. Or actually, we went to one church across. It was across the road from a school where we saw flags up. They were meeting over here, and it's their first Sunday. And I'm putting two different stories together, but the seat cushions, we went into this, it was a gym just like ours, and as we walked in, they handed us a seat cushion to go with our folding chair. We wrote that down. We're going to get some seat cushions. We're going to hand those things out. And we didn't do anything else like that church did, but we got the seat cushions. But it's an amazing thing. You go to a church and every church had a personality. We went to this one church and honestly, we drove a long way to get to it. I think it's a good church, actually. But I'm telling you, we couldn't get anybody to speak to us. They wouldn't look at us. I mean, I don't know what was wrong with them. It's so important.
Yes.
You have no idea. And the pastor and the pastor's wife know, they know it. But for those of us who come to church all the time, it's easy for us to just get in our own little zone. And we sit, this is where I sit. And these are the people that I talk to. And as soon as it's dismissed, I got to run over here and we got to talk some more about whatever it was we were talking about right before church. And we got to finish that off. And that's important. And we got to go to the booster meeting for the thing in Dodge that we're doing. And we got to go to that. And we got to get over here. And whew, that's all important. And when a visitor comes in, we have a job to do.
That's right.
We all need to minister to that visitor, that new person. And I wish, for your sake, I wish somehow we could, all of you, even the ladies, if we could make you a pastor for one day, just for one Sunday, and then you would understand it. Because you want them to come back. That's what you want. We came up tonight, and I hadn't stepped 3 steps out of the car, and somebody come up and shook my hand. And then I couldn't get another step. You were the first one. And I thought he had a blower with him. I thought he was going to blow me away. I thought he was going to say, "Excuse me, sir, could you move your car? I'm cleaning this area right now." But he did not say that. He shook my hand and said, "We're glad you're here." As a matter of fact, he said, "I'll tell the preacher you're here." And he turned around and the preacher was like 10 feet behind him. And he said, "Preacher, they're here." And thank you. You did a good job with that right there. So there's something that you can do. And all of us can pray.
Amen.
Totally different message, different text. But just think about this for a second. What would you do if you didn't have a good church? What would you be willing to do if you didn't have a good church within driving distance of your house? That's how my dad started a church. He never went to Bible college. He wasn't a pastor. He didn't have a Bible degree. We moved and we couldn't find a good church. And he started Bible study in our house. And we were driving like 25 miles to go to church one way. And pretty soon, people started coming to our house. And eventually, a church grew out of a desire to do something for God.
Amen.
But here's the question. What would you do? How far would you be willing to go of getting involved? How much would you be willing to give if you didn't have a church? And to get a church started that was close to you, you could have a church that you could attend and a pastor and a church family. How much would you be willing to give for that? How much time would you be willing to go out and just give people a flyer and say, "We'd love to have you"? That's all you got to say. Yeah. It is our opening day's coming. We'd love to have you. Right. We'd love to have you. We'd love to have you. And just go and give. And that's all you have to say. Right. How much time would you be willing to give for that? I could go on and on with that. You answer that question, and then I'm going to ask you one more. How about let's go ahead and do that now with the church that we do have? If we would be willing to give that much in order to get a church, if we'd be willing to work that hard and get that involved in order to get a church, how come we can't just go ahead and get that involved and do that much? This lady, Jesus said, we don't have to wonder if this is true. This is not in my sermon outline, I see what this lady did and I think she did what she could. Jesus said about this lady, "She hath done what she could. Nobody liked it. Nobody thought it was a good idea. But she knew that's what God wanted her to do. And she did what she could do. Now, I'm going to jump over a whole bunch of things that I was going to say tonight. And I want to move quickly to these three thoughts. Number one, find your niche. Find your niche. There's something you can do. I look around tonight and I see so many people involved in so many different things. We came in and people were asking us, what about a microphone? And we're going to put the microphone and how we do this over here. And we'll get this set up over here. And there are people involved in so many different things. That's wonderful. There's a niche for you. There's something that you can do. Can I tell you? I believe that it will be something that you want to do. I think that God will give you a desire to do whatever it is He has for you to do. And it'll, if you're willing, when the Holy Spirit starts talking to you about whatever thing that is, then you can just get involved and just do it and find your niche. Some of us, you know what we can find? We can find a broom. Yeah, we can find a blower. We can find a vacuum cleaner. We can find that brush that you clean in the bathroom with that nobody wants to use. We can find a way that we can put our hands to the work of God. I love to see it, and it's very obvious you take very good care of the facilities here. I love to see it on a Saturday, maybe a Saturday afternoon, where people just come around, getting involved, and we're getting ready for Sunday. Getting ready for tomorrow, and this is exciting. There are people going to be here. When they come, we want them to see it's prepared. We're this is important to us, and God uses that, and it's amazing how He uses it. There's find your niche, whatever it is, and I don't know all the different programs that you have in the church, but you fill in the blank. There's probably something that many of us can do or could do or God wants us to do. The Spirit of God might speak to us about it that isn't on the list. It wasn't in the bulletin this morning. And if God is speaking to your heart about it, maybe that's what you ought to do. And maybe then now our church will have one of those too. Yeah. Amen. I believe God works that way. I really do. Amen. And whatever it is, ask your pastor about it. We're not going to start a Budweiser stand out here for Jesus. We're not going to start one of those. We got to get it, whatever it is, we got to get it approved and make sure it's a good idea, all right? But I believe that God does talk to us. I know He talks to me. And sometimes when He's talking to me, I don't want to hear what He has to say. And I say, Lord, I think I'm having a hard time hearing on this side over here. Can you talk on this side? I'm not sure I wanted to hear that one. And you know what? He's patient. He'll just keep working on us. Just keep dealing with us. This is what... Find your niche. Number two, fulfill your responsibility. Fulfill your responsibility. Here's what happens. You find a niche. You start getting involved in it. It becomes a responsibility. This man right here shook my hand as I came in the door out here. I'm going to assume that you've done that more than once. You stand out there and smile at people and shake their hand. I appreciate that. He made me feel so at home when I came in. It just made me feel so welcome. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Now, if I come back to this church and you're not out there, I'm going to be disappointed. It's no pressure. That's what happens. You have a visitor that came. I don't know who the visitors were this morning, but whoever the visitors were, they'll be looking for you next week. They will be. It becomes, you find your niche immediately. Once you start to do that task, it becomes your responsibility. It's an amazing thing. If you were to say, you know what, Pastor, would it be okay if I would just on Saturday come and vacuum the auditorium? And I don't know how you do that. It doesn't matter. I'm using this for an illustration. You may have another way. And maybe the vacuum cleaner is a $400,000 machine. We don't want you to touch it. I don't know. But probably it'd be okay if somebody said, could I come and vacuum the auditorium on Saturday? If you were to do that, you know what happens? I'm just going to tell you. You do it after you've done it the very first time. Next week, that's your job.
That's good.
Don't miss it.
That's good.
Find your niche. Fulfill your responsibility. Be faithful at it. Whatever it is that God has for you to do, then just do it. And then number three, I say this. Finish your course. Finish your course. Jesus said this, she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. This may have been the last thing she was ever able to do for Jesus while he was here on this earth. She couldn't fix him a meal after that, perhaps. Maybe that was her very last opportunity to do something for Jesus. Determine that you are going to do what you can do as long as he gives you the ability to do it. She hath done what she could. You know, sometimes we get to the point in life where we have to come to the pastor and we have to say, I no longer have the ability to do whatever this task. That can happen. There can be legitimate reasons for that to happen. Let me give you a few thoughts. Number one, you could be the best recruiter for your replacement. You would be the best recruiter for your replacement. Let's stick with the vacuum, and I like that right now. I used to vacuum the church when I was a teenager. That was my job, and I vacuum. And it's great because you don't have to be very smart. And it really helped me. So maybe you say, I've got a problem with my back, and I can't do the vacuum cleaner anymore. Could you help me and fill in? That would mean so much. It'd probably be more effective than a pulpit announcement. It probably would be. You'd be the one. And then the second piece of advice that I would give you, if you come to a spot like that, then ask yourself the question, now what?
That's right.
Now what?
Amen.
All right, I can't push the vacuum cleaner. What can I do?
That's right.
And you may get all the way down to where you say, Pastor, is it okay if I take the list of the missionaries and if I spend 20 minutes every morning just praying for the missionaries? Wouldn't that be something?
Yes, sir.
And in case you haven't tried it, if you don't think that's work, try it. Take the list and see if you can pray for the missionaries for 20 minutes. Just see if you can. It's work. It's work that needs to be done. Someone needs to do that work.
Amen.
And isn't it amazing how God has designed it so that our spiritual strength can grow and surpass our physical strength? We don't ever have to get out of the spiritual battle. We can always stay in it somehow. This lady, what a tremendous example. She listened. She heard what Jesus said. She believed it. Evidently, and she said, I'm going to do something about it. She didn't get a task force together. She didn't raise money from other people. Evidently, this was her very own treasure that she brought. And she said, this is the time. And she did what she could. What a challenge for all of us. Let's pray. Father, help us this evening. We've done exactly what you said tonight. In this place where this gospel is preached, we've talked about this dear lady. Lord, she puts us to shame. I think of the financial investment that she made. I think of the fact that she stepped out when other people didn't understand. No one else was on her team. And she said, I'm just going to do what I can do. Help us to take her example.
as a challenge this evening. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are